If both aspects of this one work can be satisfactorily carried out forward, then the Lords of Liberation could be successfully evoked. The Spirit of Peace might appear as a rider from the secret place, and the new era of goodwill might be inaugurated. According to the Tibetan, this next third approach will be forthcoming, and many there are who are preparing for this great event. So it's going to happen, according to him, in our generation. Let the forces of light bring illumination to mankind. Let the Spirit of Peace be spread abroad. May men of goodwill everywhere meet in a spirit of cooperation. May forgiveness on the part of all men be the keynote at this time. Let power attend the efforts of the great ones, so let it be, and help us to do our part. O Lord of light and love, come forth and rule the world. May the Prince of Peace appear and end the warring of the nations. May the reign of light and love and justice be begun. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with us. Those thought forms which will materialize as religion of the new age already exist on the mental plane and are in process of precipitation upon the physical plane. Their lineaments can already be discerned.
Their what?
Lineaments.
What's that?
You have to look it up.
Lineaments?
Their lineaments? Well, their outlines, who they are. Who they are, basically. They're the lines of demarcation. The church is intended to serve the masses and is not intended to be of use to the mystics, esotericists, and initiates of the world. The Christian church can serve as a John the Baptist, as a voice crying in the wilderness. The prime work of the church is to teach and prepare the minds of men and women for that which is to come. What the great ones seek to break is not the form of Christianity, but the grip of the church on the minds of the masses. The imprisoned lives must break free, as they cannot be confined by ancient restrictions. In the progressive developments, the old outlines can be seen. So lineaments are like old outlines.
Are you talking about lineaments?
Hmm?
Are you talking about lineaments?
Lineaments. Not lineaments.
Lineament that you rub on your making.
Yeah, none of those.
How do you spell?
Yeah.
How do you spell it?
Lineaments. So, the imprisoned lives of people who have been controlled by the churches have to be set free. But the old outlines of the church can be seen, enlarged, purified, and more beautiful, yet recognizable as the old form on a higher turn of the spiral. The new religion will be one of invocation and evocation, according to the Tibetan, of bringing together great spiritual energies and then stepping them down for the benefiting and the stimulation of the masses. The new world religion must be based upon these truths: the fact of God, man's relationship to God, the fact of immortality and eternal persistence, the continuity of revelation, and the divine approaches. Now, we have three major approaches, but there have been other times when humanity has been approached by divinity as well, but not a major approach. And five, the fact of our relationship with each other and the fact of the path to God. By following the great mystic Hercules, we too must tread the path, accept its conditions, endure its disciplines, and perform our labors. Only then will we receive our rewards and enter into the joy of the Lord and dwell in the glory of the divine presence. In the Buddha, in the message of the Buddha, we have the three methods whereby the personality can be changed and prepared to be a conscious expression of divinity. One, through detachment. Two, through dispassion. Three, through discrimination, as the mind learns to select the good, the beautiful, and the true.
How would you explain dispassion? I mean, there's a kind of, you know, when you say the word...
Dispassion?
The opposite of passion. How would you explain it?
Yeah, So my energies are, I'm doing the right thing, but I'm neutral about it. I'm not attached to having, you know...
Not an astral chart.
Yeah.
Isn't it similar to detachment?
Detachment? Detachment is another aspect of I'm going to be of service, but I'm detached from any reward, from any praise. I'm not attached to what people think. I'm not attached to other people's judgments. You know, I'm detached, but I do the right thing, which is up to you. That's according to your soul, will tell you. And says these three attitudes, when correctly and sanely held, will bring in the rule of wisdom and prepare the disciple for initiation. Where detachment, dispassion, and discrimination are present, there is rapid release from the wheel of rebirth. So passion, you know, it's like an emotion that people feel, and they get all in, caught up into the drama of things. You're just doing the right thing for the right reason. The Buddha acts today as the agent of that great life in whom we live and move and have our being, who is himself the true light of the world and the planetary enlightener. I refer to the Ancient of Days, to the God of Love, to Sanat Kumara. The eternal youth, the one who holds all men in life and who is carrying his whole creation along the path of evolution to its consummation, a consummation of which we have not yet the slightest idea. So here you have the most powerful triad of all, the Ancient of Days, the Buddha, and the Christ, each of them ready to assist us in our path towards personal development and world service. These three lives control the energy which is hoped can be released for the illumining of men's minds during the coming great approach. Now here's something interesting too. Pledged to the service of the Christ are four groups of angels. And the work of this band of servers is to contact men and women and to teach them along certain lines. A. They will teach humanity to see etherically. They will do this by heightening human vibration and interaction with their own. So as a group, as we raise our own vibration, it will become reach a point of being in tune with the vibration of these angels, and then there can be an interaction, an interplay, and an intercourse. B. They have much to communicate regarding color and sound and the effect of these two forces on the etheric bodies, men, animals, and flowers. When what they have to impart is apprehended by the race, physical ills and sicknesses will be offset. They will give instructions to the effect of color in the healing of disease, and particularly the efficiency of violet light in lessening human ills and curing those physical plane sicknesses which originate in the etheric body. See, they will demonstrate to the materialistic thinkers of the world the fact that the superconscious world exists and that angels and men who are out of incarnation can be contacted and known. That'd be kind of cool, wouldn't it? Be able to talk with people that have gone over because we're operating on that higher etheric plane. D. They will train human beings in the knowledge of superhuman physics so that weight shall be for them transmuted. Motion will become more rapid. Speed will be accompanied by noiselessness and smoothness, and hence fatigue will be eliminated. In the control of etheric levels lies the power to transcend time. E. They will teach humanity how to rightly nourish the body and to draw from the surrounding ethers the requisite food. The health of the physical body will become increasingly automatic. F. They will teach human beings to expand their consciousness to include the superphysical. In the accomplishment of this, the separating web, the veil of the temple, which divides the physical plane from the unseen worlds, will be recognized and acknowledged as a fact in nature by the scientist. The date is imminent. Our duty is to learn rightly to contact the hierarchy via our own souls, rightly to use the great invocation as souls, and rightly to render ourselves responsive and sensitive to the resultant effects. Ponder on the above. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Rise up and fight, Arjuna, preserving the flame of love intact, permitting no breath of hate to disturb the serenity of love or upset the inner poise which will enable you to sound forth the clarion note of world understanding that rally men and women of goodwill to the aid of the hierarchy. This will bring to an end all hatred, separativeness, and aggression, which are the three major sins of humanity. What are the three major sins of humanity?
Did you say hatred,
aggression,
and separation?
Very good. Separativeness. Right. Which is what we're the opposite of. What are we about? We're about love, togetherness, and cooperation. Cease to identify yourself with material things. Gain a proper sense of the spiritual values. Cease regarding possessions and earthly existence as of major importance. We learn to perfect ourselves in order to have somewhat to sacrifice to the group, and thus enrich the group with our individual contributions. It is up to you to use the life that you already have, your talents, resources, gifts, knowledge, in order to establish right relations with your family, your communities, your nation, and the world. This matter of being in a position to receive and then be agents of the enlightenment is an intensely practical matter. You need to think in broader terms and of one world and one humanity. The mass of the right thinking and convinced demand which you who seek to serve the Christ can throw behind the man legislating for the world can bring great results and can release the forces of enlightenment in a new and potent manner, Tyler.
A new and
man
potent,
in politics.
A new and potent manner.
Yeah, new and potent manner. Molecular politics are in order. I call you from your dreams of vague beauty, impossible utopias, and wishful thinking to face life as it is today and then to begin in the place where you are to make it better. I call you to the experiment of right human relations, beginning with your own personal relations with your family and friends, and then to ask the task of educating those you contact so that they can also start a similar work. No one is futile or useless. Begin with the creation of the network of light through the formation of triangles. And all you have to do, we're in the violet flame triangle, triad, but everywhere you go, you'll see two other people that you can just connect with and form a triangle with and share your energy, your love and light without preaching, but just by connecting with them. And you'll be amazed at what happens, how they open up to a level that was before unnoticed or unrecognizable. But just by your presence, because of you, of your intention. The point of fusion achieved in group meditation will evoke the right results and produce an instrument of service, a creative thought form, of such power that its progress will be irresistible. If there is a more conscious and definite attempt to stand in the center, the place of loving power, and an increased ability to think in terms of group synthesis and fusion, and to choose with wisdom those who belong to the group. So this group isn't for everyone. Our triad isn't for everyone. We're not about numbers. We're about creating a seed group that can, once it's galvanized into a higher line of work, then we can worry about bringing in more numbers. And then each of us will have the opportunity to share what we've learned along the way with a whole new group, a whole new layer or tier of people coming in. And they'll be hungry and thirsty, and they'll go, "Wow, Joshua, I can't believe that you know so much. Tell me more." And Asaf, wow, you know, I need to understand more about this Alice Bailey person or this Joe Dewey person or this immortal. You know, they're going to want to know more, and we're going to be there to teach them and to take them higher. The resources of the entire planet must be shared collectively. No nation liveth unto itself any more than any individual can happily so live. The nation or individual who attempts to do so must inevitably perish off the face of the earth. The state exists for the benefit of the individual, and the state also exists for the benefit of all other states and for humanity as a whole. The spirit of peace is not an abstract concept, but a potent individual wielding forces hitherto unfamiliar to our planet. Great forces are awaiting the hour when they can function as the liberators and deliverers of mankind. But the door to their interest must be opened by humanity itself, and it will be opened by the united act of will. The door will not open unless the act of invocation is backed by focused will. Recognize that God works out his will through men, just as he is ever seeking to express his love through women. Desire is as yet the strongest force in the world. The only factor which can successfully oppose desire is will. Desire works from and through the material form upwards. Will works downward into the form, bending form consciously to divine purpose. And will, divinely expressed, will be the theme of the coming world religion and will eventually negate the power of death. That's kind of cool, huh? We generate enough will as a group, connect with Shambhala, overcome the power of death.
Isn't it just a side effect?
Is what?
Isn't it just a side effect?
Staying alive?
Not a purpose by itself. Just a side effect for us as to be a server of humanity.
Well, yeah, that's the natural evolution of things. That's what we'll want to do. It's like Joe was saying earlier, the higher always wants to be responsible for the lower. They want to take care of the weak. Michael.
I thought that was an interesting statement. The state exists for the individual.
Yeah.
So it's protect your rights. But, you know, for the most part, it's always been the reverse throughout history. The state controls the individual.
Right. Well, the individuals have to work collectively to build a state,
right.
And then the state has to work to protect the freedoms of the individual, you know, because without freedom to move, live, move, and have our being, there will be no evolution. We have to be free.
And the state could also provide benefits for... I mean, the people in the state will say, we want this collective action done for the benefit of everybody.
Are you sure you're interpreting the word state correctly?
Then you can take a vote.
Maybe not.
Because I'm thinking state refers to the state of mind, state of being, yeah.
Can you read, you know what that is?
And for humanity as a whole, and the United States. Wasn't the United States set up to be an ensign to the nations, to be an example of how people could live in freedom?
We used to be.
Yeah.
Well, you know, people say my freedoms are being taken. The only freedom I see being taken is I pay a great price for gas at the pump and groceries, but I'm still free to think and speak and do as I choose.
That's questionable.
Oh, yeah? Well, come on up here and stop me. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Okay, regarding the resurrection, what time is it? I got another 2 hours, don't I?
Yep.
Regarding the resurrection.
We're here all night.
I'll be here all night. I got a lot more here. The resurrection will be demonstrated during the next few centuries, and the living Christ will walk among men and lead them onward toward the Mount of Ascension. Okay, this is the calling of all groups connected with the new group of world servers and the molecular group in particular, because we have so much pertinent and wonderful knowledge to share. So, you know, the calling here is to sense urgency if not us, who's going to do it? If not now, when's it going to be done? You know, we have an opportunity, you know, on the world stage to create history, do something that's never been done before. At least not at the level that we see it happening. You know, when the Ancient of Days will pour down his energy through the hierarchy into the minds and hearts and hands of the saints, us aspiring masters, to wield that power and use it to raise consciousness in the world we live in, to be of service, to make a difference in the world. You know, who else has had this opportunity? And even if they had, it doesn't matter. This opportunity is being wielded by Ed and Tyler and Adam and all of us here. So it's our turn to make a difference. The forces of light work only with men's souls, as coercion is not permitted. The minds of men must be left free, and only the righteous stimulation of the souls of men is permitted, because it results in the expression of love and of understanding, leading to right human relations. There is no authoritative control over the minds of men assumed or cultivated by the hierarchy. All aspirants and disciples are free to choose a different way to the one suggested, if they prefer. The dark side operates entirely differently and under no such set of spiritual values. During the Great World War, these forces of evil crept in and took possession of the minds of the evil men who led the Axis powers. Hitler, Tojo, Goebbels, Ribbentrop, Himmler, and to a lesser degree, Mussolini, Hess, Goring, and others. They chose clever, intelligent, evil, unloving, hateful individuals. They were these evil forces of the Dark Brotherhood were clever, intelligent, evil, unloving, hateful individuals, completely overpowering the minds of these men already distorted with ambition and sadistic inclinations. Look at the Nazis in Schindler's List and all the destructive powers that they wielded to destroy the Jews and create mayhem on the planet. The Germans were deceived from the beginning, and a widespread national deception backed by a terror campaign argues a general weakness, lack of courage, and natural predilection for evil guidance. The power of these evil forces is enormous, for they recognize no restrictions or ordinary decent human limitations. They work through violence, coercion, cruelty, hate, terror, and lies. They aim to subjugate the human consciousness through the complete control of minds, of men's minds, through the withholding of good and the promulgation of evil. They stimulated the brains of men through the extent of their evil and magical knowledge, and therefore the forces of light were forced to step in and curtail their involvement. In 1942, the race was on between the dark forces, the Dark Brotherhood, and the forces of light to acquire possession of the techniques necessary to bring about the liberation of atomic energy. Had the dark forces triumphed, it would have led to a major planetary disaster, as they would have brought their complete destruction of all those who opposed evil. They would have wiped them out. And it would have greatly delayed, perhaps thousands of years, the manifestation of the kingdom of God on the earth. The time had come for that manifestation, and hence the powerful activity of the dark forces, such that in 1942 the hierarchy made preparations to abandon ship. They said, well, you know what, we're not sure that the Allies are going to win, and so we can't bet on that horse. And so they packed their bags. They were getting ready to head out. But something happened. The Lords of Liberation took certain unexpected steps. They were led to, owing to the invocative powers and cries of humanity. Joe mentioned that earlier, didn't you, Joe? The trend of the power to know and to discover nuclear energy was deflected away from the demanding minds of those seeking to destroy the world of men, leading to a form of mental paralysis. Those seeking to emphasize the right values and to save humanity were simultaneously stimulated to the point of success. Thus, the forces of evil were overcome, and the energy of the future was directed or impelled by those who were seeking the higher human values and the spiritual good of mankind. The kingdom of God could now manifest upon the earth. The origin of evil. The Tibetan talks a lot about the conflict between light and dark, good and evil, right and wrong. So the question is, why is there so much wickedness on this planet? Let's take a moment to discuss it. The origin of evil. Interestingly, in Isaiah 45, the Lord says, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. So there you have it. Why is there wickedness? Why is there evil? For a reason, which we're going to find out.
We need the contrast.
We need opposition in all things. Mm-hmm. Consider this information given through Dr. Anna Kingsford, found in the book A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, which explains more completely the mystery of why evil manifests in the material world. You have demanded also to know the origin of evil. This is a great subject. And we should have withheld it from you longer, but it seems to us now that you are in need of it. Understand then that evil is the result of creation. For creation is the result of the projection of spirit into matter. And with this projection came the first germ of evil. We would have you know that there is no such thing as purely spiritual evil, but evil is the result of the manifestation of spirit. As spirit created itself into matter, several aspects were woven into our sentient nature, into the warp and woof of the fabric creating our physical bodies. Barriers that must be overcome. Among them were fear, worry, doubt, guilt, inner tension and angst, stress, resistance, and pain. These are all woven into the warp and woof of our fabric. So spirit going into matter had to deal with the discomfort of being in an unfriendly place in the world of form. Ultimately, these negative characteristics would be absolved as matter is refined and we become more soul connected. But look around and see how people respond to negative, to these sensations of worry, doubt, guilt, and angst. Some turn to drugs and alcohol. Some become violent and abusive. Others choose to deal with these inherent aspects in a more positive way, through meditation, through service, prayer, introspection. If you examine carefully all that we have said to you concerning the various forms of evil, you will see that everyone is the result of the limitation of the power to perceive that the whole universe is but the larger self. It is then therefore true that God created evil, but yet it is true that God is spirit, and being spirit is incapable of evil. Evil is then purely and solely the result of the materialization of God. This is a great mystery. God is perception itself. God is universal percipience. God is that which sees and that which is seen. If we could see all, hear all, touch all, and so forth, there would be no evil. For evil comes from the limitation of perception. Such limitation was necessary if God was to produce aught other than God. Aught other than God must be less than God. Without evil, therefore, God would have remained alone. All things are God according to the measure of spirit within them. For there must needs be that there is an opposition in all things. If so, righteousness could not be brought to pass. Neither wickedness, neither holiness, nor misery, neither good nor bad. Wherefore, all things must need to be a compound in one. Wherefore, if it should be one body, it must needs remain as dead. There's just one body. Having no life, neither death, nor corruption nor incorruption, happiness nor misery, neither sense nor sensibility. Wherefore, it must needs have been created for a thing of naught. Wherefore, there would have been no purpose to the end of its creation. Wherefore, this thing must needs destroy the wisdom of God and his eternal purposes, and also the power and the mercy and the justice of God. And if these things are not, there is no God. And if there is no God, we are not, neither the earth. For there could not have been creation of things, neither to act or to be acted upon. Wherefore all things must have vanished away. Moral of the story, do good and live, do evil and die. What's live spelled backwards?
Evil.
Right. So, build Zion, stop dying.
Yeah.
How much time do
Zion,
I have left?
The backwards of Zion is noise.
Yeah. Okay. I think I have till 5:30.
Yeah.
Do you?
That's an important one.
Is it really 5:30?
It will be
no,
when I get through.
No, I mean he's going until 5:30.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I got more. Wait till you hear the creative sound of God. Okay.